Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray that last verse we just sang. O Jesus Christ, do not delay, but hasten our salvation. We often tremble on our way in fear and tribulation. O hear and grant our fervent plea. Come, mighty judge, and set us free from death and every evil. Amen. I don't know what more you could ask for in a story than the reading that we just had for our gospel reading today. It has it all. It has suspense, it has warnings, it has calamity, violence, chase scenes, arrests, vengeance, babies. It's got great and fearful signs, but it also has hope and the return of the king. I bet some of you probably paid good money to see something like that on this weekend. And here, we have delivered it to you this fine day from the word, from the mouth of Jesus, no less. Condensed for the short attention span of modern hearers. And that is all well and good. But I don't think that Jesus' hearers liked it as much as they should have. Maybe you didn't either. Everyone's a critic. I think what bothers the hearers, both them and us, about this passage is not that it's too fantastic to be believed. Rather, it is completely believable. Right? I think people can't suspend their belief when they hear this. That is probably the problem going on here. And I don't think I have to reach that far back in time to get you in a similar frame of mind. Less than a week will probably do. Back to a time when you imagined horrors in your future. Dreadful scenes played out in your mind. They maybe even kept you up at night as you envisioned things that took you years to build and accomplish, crashing down around you. Your worst fears visualized, the emotions already welling up inside you, emotions of sadness, fear, and anger. You did not look forward to the next day because you were sure the hammer was about to fall. Now, I don't think you're that much different from Jesus' hearers at all. And so, just again, here's the good news that he delivered to them. I'm going to say it again to you, and it is this. Don't worry, because the world is ending, right? And soon. You ready? Now I ask you, who could find fault with that? You see, in our reading, Jesus initially begins small. He talks about the temple getting knocked over, and the disciples start to question him. They're not digging in. He says, wait, hold on. We've got bigger plans. Today, the temple. Tomorrow, the world. And that had their attention. But as Jesus unveils scenes that would make a Hollywood producer cringe, I don't think the disciples were smiling either as the story unfolds. He talks about earthquakes, war, famine, pestilence, terrors, waves. Why not? And for the grand finale, he says, can you picture it? The sky falling. Like you, I don't think they had a hard time at all picturing it. And we might love that kind of thing on the big screen, but in real life, we are not nearly as adventurous. We don't actually want to see the arch get pushed over. We don't want to see the White House or the Capitol demoed. We don't want to see the inside of a jail cell. And when we hear that thing, if we're seriously contemplating that thing, we think, yikes, maybe I need a drink. And Jesus says, no, stay with me. You're going to want to be up for this. You want to be awake. You want to stick around until the end. Pray that you don't miss it. Pray that it doesn't take you unaware. You want to go through it all, and you want to stand before the Son of Man. That is the end. That is the climax. That is the culmination of history right there. That is what everything is building toward. Everything is building toward that. Now, Luke doesn't tell us what the disciples thought after Jesus unloads his whole vision. And you may be thinking that Jesus probably didn't say it as cheerily as you just did, Pastor. And you might be right. But note that the whole reason Jesus is telling them all of this is so that they do not fear. He gives them this heads up so that they are not surprised when the world comes crashing down. No, he says at some point it has to. It's a feature. It is the feature. It is not a bug. He says, wait for it. Look for it. Expect it. And know that when it happens, I am coming. This is what people have been wanting all of their lives, even if they don't realize it. So Jesus says, don't get distracted. Don't go after other stories, especially stories that skip right to the end. This is the one you want. This is the one that goes through suffering and calamity. That one is the real one. And as thickly as he lays it on with the hardships and the calamities, note that he does intersperse it with genuinely cheery parts, right? He sprinkles in things like, do not be terrified. Not a hair of your head will perish. And as he tells them about the finale, he doesn't say, hey, go hide, go bury your head. No, rather he says, when you see that, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption draweth nigh. When you see these things happening, Jesus says, when you see them happening, know for certain that the kingdom of God is coming, and with it, your freedom. Because that approaching kingdom is not only God's kingdom, that is your kingdom as well. And so he says, don't settle for substitutes. Don't settle for the temple. Don't settle for Jerusalem. Don't settle for America. Don't settle for any other place. It is all going to rubble, he says. You want the real deal. You want the stuff that is going to last. And that is what Jesus is announcing here, that he comes to lay waste and build anew. Right? You should recognize this pattern. This is, of course, modeled after Jesus' own life, death, and resurrection. But in that way, too, there is no shortcutting to the glory without the cross. He is the true temple who will be killed and then rise again 3 days later. That is why he is killed, in order to rise 3 days later. And what he promises for you, what he promises for the whole earth, is that same transition. His glory through his suffering, that we may inherit it all. And if you're asking yourself, what good is a used-up world? How could that be worth having? You clearly haven't seen the craze that is taking on a storm in America, right? You haven't seen the craze that is taking something old, something that is loaded with the faults of a previous life, something with good bones, and resurrecting it into something that outshines its previous existence. Jesus, that is what you are. That is what the world is. It is a fixer-upper. Christ says that all things will fall, but that you will stand, because his words will stand. And those are the words that have gotten into you. They've gotten in through your ears. They've gotten in through your mouth. Right? Those words give you strength. They give you endurance, even through the end of the world. These words lead you to Jesus Christ. They lead you to God, the one who is the end, the goal, the completion of all things, right? He is not only the Alpha, he's not only the beginning, but he is the Omega. He is the end. And so Jesus' words here in Luke chapter 21 are nothing short of earth-shattering, but he says that you will live to tell about it. These words promise it. These words bring you forgiveness and life and hope. A hope that the king will return just as he says. And so these words, as awful as they sound, nevertheless bring you peace that passes all our understanding, guarding your hearts and minds in and to this same Christ Jesus forever. Amen.